Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read in the book of Psalms. That is Psalm 46, and we shall read at verse 10. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. It is said that this psalm before us was Martin Luther's favorite psalm. I think I remember reading that when he heard there were troubles in the church, he would say, "Come, friends, let us stop and sing the 46th psalm." And indeed, this is a psalm that gives encouragement to God's people. It does not express the language of triumph over vanquished foes so much as contains the language of faith in the midst of threatened difficulties and alarming fears. And in spite of all that the enemies of the church can do, Christ can do more. And God is their present help in trouble. And in order to get the comfort of this psalm, we need to take heed to the words of our text. Because we are so liable to be agitated and distracted. And if we're in that condition, we are not going to derive the comfort that is found here. And therefore, we need to be still. And we need to know that God is God. We need to know that, and in order to know that, we need to be still, so that we might know that God is our refuge, that we might get the comfort and indeed the strength of this truth, that God is a very present help in trouble. And whatever our condition is, the Lord is speaking. He's calling to the heathen. He's calling upon the church. He's speaking to all of us, to the unconverted and to the converted. And he is speaking to us this moment, this evening, in the midst of all the tumult that we witness in the world. He is saying to us, be still and know that I am God. And with the Lord's help, we will first of all consider the claim of God. I am God, he says, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. The claim of God. And secondly, knowing God. Knowing God. And this is the call that each of us would know the Lord. But thirdly, we would look at this duty, this requirement of being still. Being still. Be still and know that I am God. So first, the claim of God. Secondly, knowing God. And thirdly, being still. The claim of God is that he is God. Be still and know that I am God. God never hesitates to put forth this claim. He is God, and there is none else. And he is saying to the heathen that he is the only true and almighty God, and that their gods are but dumb and powerless idols. God is saying, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. He will make himself glorious in the eyes of the world. He will show himself to be wonderful in the view of his people. He is God. And he is calling us to know him, claiming to be the only living and true God. He is not leaving us to make our own conclusions about him, And he is telling us who he is. He is Jehovah. And the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He is not just the God of the universe, although he is. He is specifically the God of Jacob. This is the claim of God. The one who asserts his authority, who reveals his sovereignty, and in the face of all the opposition that the world gives, God puts forth this claim, he is God. And great world conquerors had to learn this. Cyrus was told about it. Nebuchadnezzar learned it the very, very hard way when he became insane and then realized afterwards that all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he, that is God, doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, no one can stop him. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God is sovereign. And you ask, what is the sovereignty of God? Well, I've said before, the children can learn this. God's sovereignty is this: he does as he pleases. What pleased him he hath done. There is God's sovereignty. No, he doeth according to his will. That's God's sovereignty. He does what he is pleased to do. He will always do what is right, always do what is holy. He is always righteous in all his works. But he can put forth good or withhold good, and whatever he does is according to his will. I am God, he says, and he will be exalted. He reveals himself to man. Be still and know that I am God. He reveals himself in creation and providence, and he will be exalted before mankind. And you ask, well, why don't others know about God? Why don't they believe in God? Well, the answer is that from antiquity, from ancient times, people did not like to retain the knowledge of God. They didn't want to know God. And so they changed what they did know into dumb idols, four-footed creatures, images of all kinds of things, and that is what they worshipped. But God is saying, be still and know that I am God. Not these statues, not these false religions, not the various ways that people talk about going to God. I am God, and he reveals himself in Christ. And he reveals himself as the Holy One and as the helper and refuge of his people. And he reveals himself as infinite and eternal and unchangeable. In other words, he reveals himself to be God. As we read in Hosea chapter 11, verse 9, he says, I am God and not man. Oh, friends, it is so easy for us to start thinking about God as if he were a man. And we are so liable to putting ourselves in the place of God and to say, well, this is what I would do. But God is sovereign and he gives no account of his matters. I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. So here is God's sovereign claim. The enemies are raging, God's people are trembling, and in the midst of it all, God says, be still and know that I am God. There are no restrictions to his power. God can do, and he does, whatever he wishes to do, and no one can frustrate his purposes. As someone has put it, he says, God is saying this, I am everything that I have revealed myself to be. I am everything that I have revealed myself to be. Whatever you have learned about the one living and true God, it is true. I am God. Be still and know that I am God. But this God is our God, says the people of God. And God in the midst of her doth dwell. This infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, almighty God is in the midst of his people. And we are told this. He is a very present help in trouble. And verse 5, God is in the midst of her, that is, in his midst of his people, his church. She, the church, shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early, before you know it. You think it's a long, long time before we can experience God's help. God will help his people right early. Why? Because he is the God of Jacob. He is Jehovah. He fulfills his promises. Be still and know that I am God. He will protect his people. Again, this psalm is given to the church for the support of God's people, the support of their faith, to strengthen their faith. We feel afraid. We are shaking within. Where else are we going to go but to the Word of God, the precious psalms that are for the comfort of God's people and that reveal to us the knowledge of God. God will be exalted, and it is our duty to know that, and it is our duty to know the Lord himself. Be still and know that I am God. So secondly and briefly, knowing God. So what is it to know that he is God? Yes, we must know the Lord, and we must know that he is God. Well, we need to remember that God is incomprehensible. We cannot know all of God. And even what we do know of him from his word, we know imperfectly. And we must never be puffed up with our knowledge, but recognize we know nothing yet as we ought to know it. And yet the Lord may be known. One person said that Psalm 77, speaking about his footsteps are not known. And this person was saying, this describes God as the unknowable. But that's wrong, false. God is not the unknowable. God may be known. God reveals himself to us. His ways may not be known. His footsteps, where he's taking his church, they're not known. We don't know what is over the horizon. But he does lead his church. He led his people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. But God may be known, and he's calling us to know him. Know the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. And how can we know him? Is there some internal revelation within us? Well, we may learn so much about the Lord in creation and reason and providence, but God is known as he reveals himself. And that is what we need to remember, that God reveals himself in his word, and we're to go to the word of God and go to the scriptures that we may gain the knowledge of God which is necessary for us, the knowledge of God which is necessary for salvation. But again, as we've all heard before many, many times, head knowledge is not enough. It may be sufficient in the sense that we know how to be saved, and we may know just a few things that may be enough that we may be saved, but simply knowing it in our heads is not enough. We may know, and that is so wonderful, that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. That is knowledge that will save us. But the knowledge of that, simple intellectual knowledge of that, will not save us. Friends, are you listening? You need to know the Lord. You need to know Christ. You need to come to Jesus. You need to believe on him and rest on him for salvation. But what is it to know the Lord? Be still and know that I am God. It's more than just to know about him. It's to know him. Well, it is more than head knowledge. there needs to be an abiding conviction. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And this knowledge of God should influence our lives. It should influence our choices, our thoughts. And this knowledge of God will come to expression in acts of devotion. If we really know the Lord, it will reveal itself by prayer. We will be praying to Him from the heart. That is knowing the Lord. It involves a relationship with God. And to know the Lord is to be what God's creatures ought to be in relation to God. So, if we know the Lord, that knowledge of Him will influence our thoughts, what we think about God, what we think about ourselves. It will influence every situation in our lives, our planning, our future. This knowledge of God will take possession of us. It will hold us. We should be asking ourselves, do I know the Lord? Does it take hold of me? Is it shaping me? Is it shaping my life? Many things shape our lives. We're being shaped right now, forced to self-isolate. But does the knowledge of God mold us, move us, influence us, motivate us, draw us? That is to know the Lord. So if we know the Lord, then we will desire to glorify Him and enjoy Him and have fellowship with Him and praise Him and pray to Him and worship Him. And we will desire to be at the place where His honor dwelleth. It will break our hearts that we cannot come to the house of God and worship Him, even when it's His own holy providence requiring this. We should not be indifferent to that. We have the examples of David in the Psalms, how in providence he was kept from the worship of God, but he longed to go to the courts of God's house. He longed to be there. His heart and soul were crying out after the living God and the place where God's glory was manifest in the temple. We are required to be still and know that He is God. So it involves love to God and faith and a willingness to be taught by the Lord and base all of our principles and opinions and our ways of viewing things upon the Word of God. We're not happy just to go along with whatever opinions pop into our minds. We want everything to be influenced by the knowledge of God. And we will acknowledge Him on all proper occasions with reverence and godly fear. And finally, with this point, as Rabbi Duncan says, probably in comment on this text, let God be God, and you just be His creature. Let God be God, and you just be one of His creatures. He is the Creator. We know nothing in comparison with the infinite knowledge of God. Well, in order to truly know the Lord, we must be still. Be still and know that He is God. Thirdly, being still. God is calling us to quiet our minds. We should calm ourselves. And there's a time and a place to do that literally. Every day into our closets and pray to our Father in heaven, which is in secret. And there are extraordinary occasions in which we are to go quietly apart, perhaps even fast and pray and seek the Lord. There are times when we are forced in providence to go solitarily apart to pray and seek the Lord. And thinking of Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 20, although perhaps not to be interpreted literally, but figuratively, in that we are to go to the Lord Himself as our dwelling place. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. We're to go quietly apart in secret places, in the recesses of our souls, at the very least, seeking the Lord. Yes, there is indignation. God is displeased. Is God pleased with the nation passing these unrighteous laws? Is God pleased with the nations of the earth that seem to be determined to go contrary to his will and ways? No, he is not pleased, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. How solemn this is. We don't know exactly how he will do so, but God is righteous, and man is accountable to God. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. God is righteous. The blood of the innocent people who have not been avenged, that vengeance is coming some way or other. And in the meantime, we are to be still and know that he is God. We're to go quietly apart in our souls, in our rooms, and pray. Friends, pray. We're praying together tonight, but you go home and pray. Pray on the way home from church. Pray at home. Pray tomorrow. Pray the next day. Pray on Sabbath. Pray continually. Go into your chambers and shut thy doors about thee and hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. It's not going to be forever. You say it's so depressing, but this won't be forever. We're all going to meet our God. Let us be ready. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. And when you go to Jesus Christ, the wrath of God is turned away from you, and you are safe, while the inhabitants of the earth shriek in agony. But you, for you, all is well. But in order to get the benefit and comfort of God's word, we need to be still. We need to cease to strive. Literally, leave off. Our tendency is to quarrel. We are ready to fight God. That's our human nature. Be still. Leave off. Abandon that hostile spirit. That's where it comes from. If we're filled with thoughts, why would God do this, and so on, it's coming from the enmity within. Maybe not in angry thoughts like Pharaoh, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice, but we need to recognize where unbelief comes from, where striving against God comes from. Discontent, where does that come? It all comes from the sinful nature we all have. We are sinners. We need the blood of Christ. We need the Holy Spirit. We need a new heart. Friends, pray for a new heart. Children, pray for a new heart. Pray that you would be born again. Pray that God the Holy Spirit would put saving grace within you, a new heart and a new spirit, to see the wonders of God's word, to see the glory of Christ, to go to Jesus for salvation. How we need grace. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit that we might be still, that we would cease to fight against God. There are hundreds, thousands, millions, and they're shaking their fists at God. They don't like God. They are fighting against God. Let that not be true of you. Oh, that we would submit to God, to submit to his power, that we would not be like the heathen who are hostile, and God is uttering his voice. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. Verse 6, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. It's a voice uttered in the church, but it reaches forth to the heathen outside the church, and they are trembling. But the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. If the heathen go on and rage against God, they will discover the consequences of their folly, and all will bow before the majesty of God, the one who rules over the universe. And all will bow before Christ and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It will either be by being made willing to do so, and they will love that Christ is the King, or they will be forced into submission the almighty power of God to acknowledge that Christ is Lord. But let us not rebel against God. God is saying to everyone, be still. Be still and know that He is God. We must cease from our striving. And we must cease from endless, relentless questions. And just be still. Abandon this striving spirit. Stop and think. Start again. And know that He is God. The scriptures abound with God reasoning with man. Man wants to reason with God, but God will reason with man. As Elihu asked Job, when Job couldn't figure out what was going on in his experience, Elihu asked Job, should it be according to thy mind? Should God's procedure and the way He does things, should it fit in with our plans? Or should not our plans and our lives fit in with God's purpose and plans? Be still and know that I am God. The world abounds with questions about God's fairness and allowing suffering in the world. But if we submitted to the infinite knowledge and the sovereignty and the righteousness of God, it would put our minds to rest. And that is how we may be still and know that He is God. It is by dwelling upon the knowledge of God in His Word. In other words, we're to mind the things that are revealed. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The Lord works through the thoughts, and our thoughts affect our hearts. We have to go back to the scriptures again and again. If our minds would be at rest, we have to consciously, purposely bring our mind to the knowledge of God. Be still and know that He is God. In order to be still, we must know that He is God. In order to know that He is God and get the comfort of that, we need to be still. We're to use the means. That's where I'm going. Use the means that are given to us. Our minds are agitated. We think about so many things. Sometimes it's hard to control our thoughts. Well, pick up our Bibles again and start reading. Talk to one another about God and His wisdom and His grace and His love. We're to use the means of grace that we have to keep our minds upon God Himself, that we might have the peace that He is able to give us. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And that's where we have to go and trust in the Lord, believing He is true to His word, believing He is faithful to His people, believing that He does not change, believing that He knows all things. We know the catechism. He is infinite in knowledge, wisdom, and so on. We say we know that, but is it not the case that so often we act as if we didn't know it? As we read in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 27, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Perhaps they didn't really say that with their lips. Perhaps they weren't going around saying, God doesn't think about me, my judgment is passed over from my God. But they were acting like they believed that. They're acting like they were saying that. Their hearts, even their actions were showing that. So God says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? We act like God is sleeping when we give in to unbelieving fears and we're agitated in our minds and spirits. We act like we believe He is sleeping, but We're to lay hold of the truth so that it affects our hearts, dwell upon it in our minds till we feel it in our souls, that he fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And finally, the promise, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. This is the knowledge of God that we are to lay hold of. This is the knowledge of God that should affect our souls, and then we will be still and know that he is God. We're to be still and recognize his infinite power. Yes, in a dark and cloudy day, that nothing is too hard for him. While the earth trembles, the Lord speaks, and God's people will rejoice. The Savior says, ye shall have joy. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Now, someone will say, but I struggle with a sense of sin. My sin is so great. How can I expect God to be my help? Never forget the knowledge of God, that his mercy is infinite, and no sin is too great to be forgiven for those who come. Our duty is to come, and he will forgive. Come to Christ. The question was put long ago, how can man be just with God? Man is sinful, man is vile. Job said, behold, I am vile. But here's the answer. Yes, he is just. God is just, but he is also a Savior, a just God and a Savior. And through the death of Christ, the Lord of glory, through his blood, through his righteousness, the sinner is forgiven and accepted with God. Go then to the fountain opened. He's opened. He's revealed in the gospel as the open fountain, the one who was crucified. We're to go to a crucified Savior, revealed in the Word as a crucified Savior. Go to Jesus. Go to his blood. Bathe in the fountain. Be washed. Be clean by the blood of Christ. He is calling. Seek him while he may be found. Look to him while he is calling you. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Stop striving against him. Go to him, rest upon him. Come to the Savior. He is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do we believe his word? Like the woman who said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Do we believe that? Do you believe that if you come to him, you'll be saved by simple dependence and rest upon him? Oh, believe it and come and pray that the Holy Spirit would draw you to him, that you would come. But come, come to a Savior who is waiting to be gracious. Come that he may wash you and save you and bring you into the presence of God, and be still and know that Jesus Christ is God, able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by him. And let God's people in these dark days look to their Lord, their present help in trouble, and let them look to him and be still. Be still, he says. Rest on him. Praise him for his goodness to us. Be still, he says. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. May he bless his word.